Peeped. What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to us. Did you miss us? In case you forgot who we are, I'm Princess Weeks.
And I am Tessa Netting.
And you are back and listening to, of course, The Geek Podcast, your one-stop shop for fandom convos, pop culture, media, all nerd geek things.
Each week, we're going to skim the surface of what's popular in geek culture, then deep dive into the lore of a Netflix world that is bigger than our own.
Today and night, we're going to delve into the animated mind of Kid Cudi himself with his new romantic film, Intergalactic.
Yes, I am pumped to talk about this one because, I don't know, I think this might have turned me into a Kid Cudi fan, perhaps.
Hell yeah. I'm so excited to talk to you about this. But before we get into it today, Tessa, tell me, I'm dying to know, I've missed you so much. What's got you geeked this week?
Let me tell you.
Oh man, so many things. Well, I'm just, first of all, geeked to be back.
Yeah, so good to be back.
It was nice to have a little break sometimes, but there's so much that is happening in the fall. The fall is now. The time is now. So
the pumpkins are up.
You know,
it's great.
It's time for us both to step into our most powerful forms and talk about some of the best movies and shows that I've been looking forward to the most, like, this whole year. It's like I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and now it's finally time. Wednesday, we got some sneak peeks. We got, like, their freaking cute-ass uniforms that I'm obsessed with. Ugh. The students of Nevermore Academy. I love a good uniform. It looks like Beetlejuice meets Ravenclaw meets, like, I don't know, just give me all of the magical school vibes. And also, like, Glass Onion, the sneak peek. We got to see, like, the invitation in the form of a puzzle box, and it was so cool.
Oh, God.
I just know that that movie is going to be, like, one of the best things I've ever seen. So I am just, it makes me want to do an escape room so badly. I need Rian Johnson to create an escape room.
Oh, my God. That would be so chaotic. I would go.
Right?
Hands down.
So that's what's got me the most geeked. What about you, Princess?
Honestly, what's got me the most geeked is, so I've suddenly got into, like, legal drama shows. I just love watching them. Like, and on Netflix right now, there's Partner Track with Arden Cho in it, who was on Teen Wolf. And it has just been so fun to watch. It's like my, after I, like, have a long day, I'm like, I want to unpack. Let me watch this successful female lawyer deal
nice.
With complicated moral issues while also flirting with two guys I think she could do better than. But
classic.
But what else is new? That's been really cool. And also, part of the announcements was the release of the cast for Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes!
And they got the actress from Prey to be Princess Yue. And I'm just sitting here like, well, I've already loved that character. This is iconic casting. And despite, like, a few, like, nitpick stuff, I am glad that the entire cast of that show ended up being Asian as promised. So that makes me really excited to see what they do with everything. So I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
Oh my goodness.
And I love Avatar. So it's like, I feel like every time something new Avatar-related comes out, I'm just like, here I am back at being 14 again, back in the Zootara Wars. Time to battle. But I'm looking forward to all of it.
That's one battle that I would stand beside you. I was also a Zootara person.
We would be fully united
on that front. We would stand united, because that is something that I do still get into arguments with my friends about. I have a friend that is obsessed with Aang and Katara, and I just cannot understand the logic.
My girlfriend also ships Kat Aang. It's one of those things, like, you see how I can go across the aisle? It's like, so brave. I know. Whenever we ship something that's different, it's always just like, we're so brave, making it work with all these all
our
these
love
political
perseveres.
Differences.
Wow, the power of our
power
love.
Of love.
I love it. That's amazing. Obsessed. Can't wait. Bring on the fall.
But speaking of fall and cuffing season, we have a nice romantic animated film to talk about, don't we, T?
Oh, yes. We definitely do. Let's talk about it now.
So today we are going to be talking about Kid Cudi's new television special, which was so surprisingly sweet and kind and thoughtful and well acted. And I was really, really into it. What about you, Tessa? I know you didn't know who Kid Cudi was before.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to all the Kid Cudi fans. I'm just a really big musical theater dork that listens to really basic pop radio. So I did not know. I'm the whitest person alive. So I did not know. But I absolutely loved this. I thought that this was such a cool and great idea to like promote an upcoming album, and also not even promote, to create this whole experience for someone to like to listen. Because when I'm listening to an album, I don't like to listen all the way through. Usually I'll just like, oh, I'll hear a song here, and then if I like it, I'll hear another like single here, or my friend will recommend a song here. So I don't like listen through a full album normally, unless it's a musical theater album, because I need a story, baby. So this gave me a story, and I'm like, this is cool. This is really a great idea. It's revolutionary. And, you know, get that Emmy.
I agree. I think it's good. I mean, what if he'd be like two parts of an EGOT? Because I know he's won two Grammys.
Deserved it. Get it.
I'm so excited because for those who also may not know, so Kid Cudi is he's a rapper, singer, songwriter, producer, actor, and he's really been a very popular alt rapper. Most people got into him in 2008 with his debut single Day and Night, which was self-published on his MySpace page. Legendary,
yes.
Iconic, you know, back when you could do that with MySpace. Launch careers. Take that, SoundCloud. And since then, he's gone on to produce and work with many big artists across a lot of different genres, including Michael Bolton. So he even has hits for your moms. And this is like the first thing I've seen him in a while. Like, I know he's done some small appearances and stuff, because I know he was in like the Bill and Ted movie and Don't Look Up. But this was definitely very different from what I thought he would do for something like this.
Oh my God. It was like his own immersive world come to life. And it was sort of blending like, oh, animation and reality. The people that are voicing the characters kind of look like the characters too, which is like interesting. And I don't know. To me, this is like seriously pushing the boundaries and like raising the bar when it comes to like storytelling. And I don't know if this is like kind of stupid of me, but I didn't realize how well like music and animation can go hand in hand. Like, it's obvious now. And I think about it, especially like some of my favorite animated things are because like the music was so involved in it, like Spider-Verse. But it's like they elevated each other so beautifully. It was almost like I was watching like choreography or something, because it was so interwoven. I fucking loved it. It was amazing.
It's just so well detailed and beautiful. And I thought about how much I wish that something like Beyonce's Lemonade would have got something like this, because that's something I was like, oh, that would look so good animated, like, or like Chromatica.
Right.
You know, I just think about like, it's so fun to blend like those images together and tell the narrative story of your album, of your work, with an animated form. And I think it was just really thoughtful. And I've also just, I don't think since like Bay Bay Kids or maybe even Spider-Verse have I seen like such a roster of animated stuff with so many black actors on it in like a while. So it was just really fun to see all these people have an opportunity to play this. And I also love the idea of like, so Kid Cudi, his character's name is Jabari. He has two really close friends, and one of them is voiced by Timothée Chalamet. And so the idea of Timothée Chalamet and Kid Cudi like hanging out was very funny to me.
I could not take that it was Timothée Chalamet, because all I could think about is him being like, I fucking love fingerling potatoes from Don't Look Up. Because like he was doing that same type of vibe that he was doing in that movie. And it just made me laugh so hard, because I was like, oh God, here comes the fingerling potatoes. But the casting was super unexpected, but brilliant. I was like, wow, this is really, really good. I wouldn't want any other person playing this character. So hell yeah. Good job.
Yeah, really good job. And I think that sometimes, you know, I can sometimes be reluctant to be like really enthusiastic about like big name actors being voice actors, because sometimes, you know, you feel like you're taking away from the artistry of one group of actors. But I felt like because of how specific it was, I felt like the writers really picked every person with intention, especially since they look so similar to their real world counterparts. So it worked in a way that I was really pleased with.
Yeah, I was actually even wondering, like, when they were creating this, like, did they have people in mind, like, from the beginning? Or did they, like, how collaborative was it in that sense? Or how much, like, which came first? Like, when did he write the album and then was like, oh, I want to make this animated thing? Or did he, like, have this animated idea in mind and then, like, with that in mind wrote the album because he knew he wanted to tell this whole thing? Or was it like, oh, these songs, if I put them in this order, that would really make sense? You know what I'm saying? I really wish I knew more of the behind the scenes like process of how this happened, because I think it's such a cool and interesting idea. So Netflix, do a documentary. I want
to
know.
Yeah, I definitely would love to see like a making of, because I feel like, you know, animate, like, especially because this feels like such a spiritual successor to like Into the Spider-Verse and Arcane, of this very realistic but still very clearly animated style. And I really dig it. You know, I don't think, I know it's kind of bougie, but I feel like I'll always still have like this really like soft spot for hand-drawn animation. But this art style is probably, of the modern ones, my favorite. I feel like it just lends to so much like visual creativity, because it's not meant to be totally smooth all the time. So it's allowed to have sort of like the, you know, it's allowed to look different, to have that more uncanny than this perfect CGI smoothness. I just really enjoy this animation style.
Oh my God. I'm like, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with this animation style. It's like, like you said, it feels like alive because it moves in that way. Mm-hmm. It's almost like 2D mixed with 3D. Like, it feels stop motion almost sometimes. But that's so, like, when I saw it in Spider-Verse, I was like, oh, man, I love this. This is like a comic book come to life. But then, like, with Arcane, I felt like Arcane sort of, like, elevated that idea and was like, okay, let's take this to this level. And then this is sort of taking it again. And I'm like, let's keep going. I feel like we have only scratched the surface with, like, what you could do with this type of medium in this way, because it just looks so freaking beautiful. It's, like, also...
so good.
God bless, like, adult animation that looks aesthetically fucking pleasing. It's about time. Like, can we not just, like, joke around? Like, oh, the only adult animation that exists is ones that have to be, like, really crass or look really... you know what I mean? Like, what do we just get Family Guy? No. Give me this.
Yeah, no. It was nice to see, like, sexualities have depicted in animation, but, like, in an adult story and an adult art form. So it wasn't just jokes, you know? Really, I totally agree with you. And I just looked it up. So they started working on this and shaping it in 2019. And I just love that studios are allowed to take time to do it, because I feel like, you know, with all of the studio stuff, no shade to nobody specific, but, you know, special effects people have to work so quickly now to keep up with what people think. They think, just put it in the computer. But you can really tell, at least I feel like you can tell, like, the video people really got to sit down and create interesting visual storytelling to really allow that part of the narrative to come alive. And so I feel like even if you're not familiar with Kid Cudi or his work, it just is visually inviting. And it's also just really nice that it looks and it feels like the special effects team is allowed to take their time, really craft a narrative with their medium. Because I think, you know, we talk about the writers, we talk about the directors and writers and everything, but the animators are also crafting this story. It is just as important as the words written on the page to making it come alive. And I felt like it definitely did.
You can tell because of the little details that they added to. It was really thoughtful. Just the little, like, that was one of my, I don't know, something that made me really happy was the little, like, real life things that I experienced that are now in animated form. It was sort of like romanticizing these little things that I do that are really dumb. Like, oh, there's my phone on a nightstand, or oh, there's like the glow of like when I FaceTime someone, like, oh, this is what it looks like. I've never seen that. Like, because normally when we see like current day animation, it's just like, oh, it's a Disney movie, or it's a kids animated movie. We don't get to see it in this beautiful art form. So it was so cool. I loved it. It was so smart.
Everything you said, I totally agree with, especially like all the little notes and like seeing characters just get high casually. That wasn't going to be like, you know how in the old days, if you got high at a cartoon or even the inclination of alcohol, all of a sudden you were like Pink Elephant's Dumbo. But just to have it be like a gateway to like another animation style, which was really fun for me to see. Like, it made everything come together. But I realized that we haven't spoken about what this movie is about.
Whoops.
Or this TV special. We tend to do that. So this special is about this artist named Jabari, who is finally like getting his art together. He's got his own place, just moved in. Things are going well. And he ends up meeting his really cool photographer neighbor Meadow, who is voiced by Jessica Williams.
I'm your new neighbor, Jabari.
Nice to meet you. I'm Meadow.
Girl, is that your neighbor?
Yeah.
And Jabari says at the beginning that he doesn't want to be in a relationship because he just wants to focus on his art, focus on his journey. And then he meets this really cool girl who's also trying to focus on her art and focus on her journey. Oof. And then they're both like, but maybe we love each other too.
I'm not trying to fuck the vibes up. Neither of us really wanted nothing serious, so.
And I was just like, tale as old as time.
Oh my God. This was, okay, I just need to say something here. Falling in love in New York City is actually a very specific experience. And I think that this film captures the feeling of that experience very well in actually one of the, like, the most authentic ways I've ever seen, because I've had this experience. I fell in love with Joe in New York City when I was 21. We were both artists. We were so young, but we were so in love. And there is something like so beautiful about that young love, but especially love in New York City. Like there's this magic there, because
meeting someone in the city is a big deal.
When you're in New York, you could almost feel like this energy around you, right? And for some people, it's too much. For some people, it's like addicting. But I swear that that energy exists because there's like so many creative people packed in one small space. Mm-hmm. And so you could just like, you could feel their emotions. It's almost you're all emotionally connected to the city. The city is like a part of you. And that intense energy can almost like amplify your own emotions. So if you're depressed living in New York, like that can make it feel 10 times worse. But if you are falling in love in New York fucking city, that feeling is euphoria. It is the best feeling. It is like, it's unreal. It's so hard to explain that to people. It feels like stop time. It feels like you're living in a movie. Like you feel so alive and free, and it's beautiful. And you can feel that in this. Like it was just that to me, that's what blew me away the most, is it really like gave you that feeling of being young and in love in New York City. So I was like, hell yeah.
I love that. I totally agree. As someone who has fallen in love in New York City, it is definitely like that. But to me, it's so funny because my partner, she just moved. And now instead of being like 10 minutes away by train, we're 40 minutes away by train. And so we joke that we're in a long distance relationship. Because that's all. So like, then this couple, they're neighbors. And I'm like, you mean you both got your own apartments? And you live in the same building and you can just go.
Huge, I was
like,
apartments, that's the, as well.
Huge
the
apartments.
I'm like, apartments I've ever seen.
I was like, where this? I was like, where are you guys at? This was giving Soho. I was like, these aren't Brooklyn. I was like, where are you? Where is this? But I was like, so you have you're both artists with your own artist apartments. So you can go do your business and then go back to your own workspace and not have to feel away. I was like, that sounds lovely.
I know.
The only thing better than living with your partner is living next door to your partner, because
God,
it's like the stakes
bless.
Are.
Oh my God, that's so
funny. It's like we can be together and alone whenever we want. It's like, that's the perfect arrangement.
Honestly, so, for sure.
And I love that Jessica Williams' character, Meadow, got her own story. Because so often when you have a show or a movie that focuses on just, like, the male artist and their angst, like, the woman can get totally turned into, like, you know, a manic pixie dream girl type. But Jessica Williams is like, no, she's got her own vibe. She has her own reluctance about getting in a relationship. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that she got to also feel things and have doubts that were based on her wanting to do her own thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things when you have two artists, you have them both wanting and knowing how selfish of a career that is, how much you need to focus on your own thing. But then love happens and you're like, shit, man.
Love happens.
Shit,
girl.
Man. I can't ignore it. I can't ignore this shit because it's like, it's too real and the feelings are too intense that you're like, God damn it. All right. Let's do this.
That's honestly why breakups are like the most creative process to be in, because you are never more than when you are just going to break it up with me. It's like, I am going to make an art that is so traumatic that they're going to know it's about them, but I'm going to be so successful with my trauma. It's like,
No,
you just start
sure.
click, click, clacking away. It's terrible, but it is true.
Well, that's why so many artists have, like, you know, they sort of keep themselves in this place of despair. It's a whole thing, you know, because they feel like that's the only way that they can make art. But to me, there was so many, like, I don't know, there were so many little moments in this special that sort of, like, showcased this, like, their love. And one that stood out to me was when the two of them, like, went to that diner together to get lunch. But then after, they were both just enjoying each other's company so much that when the meal was over, they both just, like, didn't want to leave. So then they just started walking, you know, and talking and hanging out and just being in the city without a plan, without a schedule, didn't know where they were doing. They just, like...
Very Rent of them.
Oh, my God. They just start singing, like, literally. Oh, my God. But, like, that's... To me, that is the craziness of New York. Like, when there's so many people and things happening around you, but instead of feeding into that, you just focus all of that energy into the other person. It's such a freaking surreal experience because it's like, then you start to notice like every little thing like about them, like the way that they look at you, the way that like every time they laugh, every time you touch hands, like you just, your heart like explodes and it feels like that crazy, like busy world around you just doesn't exist. And like this animation style mixed with the music, mixed with this acting, like perfectly gave me that feeling that I almost like cannot explain of when you're just like in New York City, but there's all this shit happening, but you only care about the person that you're like talking to. It's
all the time.
So good.
There's also nothing more iconic than your first meal with the person who ends up being like your partner.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, cause it's always there. Like, I remember exactly like the first date I had with Anna, she wanted to go to her favorite ramen spot. And it was so funny because her entire personality was like in that date, because it's like she was late. She forgot her wallet. It was hilarious. And then it's like, and it's like, those are the things that you always hold on to. Like you always remember like, where was our first date? And it just like, it clings to you. And it's like usually about sharing food because that's when you get to talk and socialize and find out what each other likes. And it's just, what, especially I love that it was like, he was like, oh, I thought he was going to take me to some like mukbang burger place. And
the
then it ends up being when I'm just like, that's right. You make your man eat a burger.
Wait, princess, do you have like a secret spot of your own? Like a place that's this little hidden gem in New York or some sort of thing that you like to take people or that is special to you?
It's not so much a hidden gem, but I do love taking people. So there's this place called Mala Project that my girlfriend and her friends got me into. And it's like these big places where you go and you get like these big bowls of food and kind of like to share with each other. And it's so good. It's so delicious. And you can make it vegetarian. You can make it vegan. You could make it with meat, however you want it. And then my favorite first date place is
secrets revealed.
So it is a cafe. It's a board game cafe called The Uncommons, and it is in right by NYU. And you can go in and you pay like $5 to play video games for like a couple of hours. And so on our first date after we ate dinner, we went there and we played Marrying Mr. Darcy. And it was amazing because
it was fun.
And like we did it with British accents. That's when I knew. That's when I really knew that that she was the one, because we both decided that we were going to do it English style. So we just put on our like most posh accents and just started playing the game. And it was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
So that's when I knew.
that's so good, because it's sometimes you don't know what to do on a first date. And I think a lot of people fall into the trap of like, let's see a movie. But I'm like, no, a movie is not a good first date, because you can't talk to the other person. You're just like sitting there, and then you feel you can't even watch the movie and enjoy the movie because you're so worried about what they're thinking next to you, and you don't know, like, you don't know them yet. So it's like, do I laugh? Do I talk to them? Like, what is our vibe? I don't even know our vibe yet. But sometimes just going to dinner, that can be hard too, because you don't like, you're like, do they want to talk to me? Like, do they like to be a little more silent? Like, how, you don't know the vibe yet either. So I feel like you need to do something, then go to dinner. Like, you need to feel the vibe and see if you're connecting.
That's why I love a late lunch date, because lunch, you can have other plans and you can do other things. So if you're like, let's go get lunch, and then depending on how we're feeling, then we can like go get drinks somewhere. Cause you know, sometimes like you go to places that have drinks cheaper, or like for us, it was ramen in the board game cafe. And then we went to go look at a record store. We just walked around, cause in New York, you can walk everywhere. So you can keep having a date for hours, cause you're just like, let's go
just
see this
like,
place.
That's
oh, I know that
did.
Spot. Yeah. So I definitely, what about you? Do you have a secret spot, secret Joe spot that you love so much?
Oh, I did. And it was in New York, but it closed because of the pandemic. So now I'm sad. But it was called Blockheads. And it was,
I know Blockheads.
Blockheads was my spot. It was on 59th, between like 9th and 10th. And I swear their margaritas were magic. Like, I would go there and have a margarita, and then something magical would happen. Like, good things would happen. And so I just kept going there. And also the food was bomb. So I would just, like, go there, go with my friends. But I swear, those frozen margaritas, there's something magical about them. And, like, almost every moment of, like, intense emotions, like, of good things happening, like, when I got proposed to right before I got engaged, before I went to like Billy, like all these like things that happened all happened right after I went to Blockheads. So
amazing. Blockheads was a magical place.
I think that's what happened. I think I figured out like the power that it had, and they're like, oh shit, we can't keep doing this. Gotta shut this down.
Right. And I think, to give you guys like a tried and true New York trip. If you are visiting New York and you want to go, like you're doing your Broadway and you're having fun. If you want to find the best bars, the best places to drink, and you're stuck in like 42nd or 59th, go to 9th and 10th Avenues.
Yep.
Once you are out of the fives to the 5 to 8 is Bastard Town.
Oh,
that's
God,
where you're
going
to like, it's going to be overcrowded, overpriced, because that's going to be like your Midtown, everything. But once you go to like 9 and up, that's like more suburb city, because that's where
it's
people
great.
Actually live. And it's like the best gay bars are up there, the best drinks, food. So just keep going up. Keep walking. Walk up on them avenues. Don't go down.
Yes. Good. That's a good tip, honestly. I always used to hang out on 9th. It was the best.
It's
it
the best.
A good
1 through 8 is demonic, but everything past that is really good. In the best way. It's just really expensive. That's where the wealthy are.
Exactly. So is all of New York. Honestly, watching this special made me like want to live in New York again, on like low key a little bit. It made me miss it.
It did make me wish that I could afford to have a bigger apartment in New York City. That's what it
really
made.
New York,
That's what I was like. I was like, girl, where are the listing prices for these places?
Where's this fantasy New York? How do we get here?
I know. How you living in this brownstone looking up place on a photographer's salary? Tell me your secret.
Spider-Man, is that you? Spider-Man.
Oh my goodness. Well, this, I'm so glad I got to talk to you about this. And I think I'm glad that we, you know, got an opportunity to see it so early, because I think that we don't get a lot of really fun romances. Like right now, Jennifer Lopez is carrying the rom-com genre on her back. But it's nice to actually see like a romance between two characters that have chemistry, have things in common, and like are just both adult professional people in the world trying to figure that shit out.
Yep. Also, these cartoons were fucking, man. Crazy.
Yeah, good for them. Love
Wild.
That.
Wild. Getting it in.
Love it.
Bless
yes.
You. Bless you.
This is the future that Spike TV wanted. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, princess, what's your one more thing?
All right, one more thing. Animation is an immense medium. It's a genre that needs to be respected. Make sure everyone pay your animators and respect your animators and stick around for the credits. Like, something that I know can be hard, but if you really want to know who to celebrate and who to thank for things, you should stay and watch the credits for films like this especially.
Y'all should stay for the credits every time. That pisses me off. That's like a thing that people do in LA that people like to stay for the credits, not just for Marvel movies, just because like because you don't know the people might be in the theater a lot of times.
Yeah.
But it's like, y'all, just stay. It's to get an extra 10 minutes. You could turn on your phone and look at it. But come on. So many people worked on it that, like, just for everyone to walk out and not even have that little moment, I feel like we need to get over that. We need to stay a little longer.
Yeah.
It's the least you could do.
What about you, Tess?
My one more thing would be, what was that line that was said in this movie? It was something about, like, oh, it was like, love is like, fuck. Oh, love is a motherfucker. If you got it, hold on to it. And
amen.
I agree. It's so worth. It's worth the bullshit. It's worth the stress. It's not easy, but it's the most beautiful thing in the world is love. Mm-hmm. So it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth putting work in for any type of love, for love with your family, with your friends. Mm-hmm. There's like that's
your it's pets.
For anything. It's the best thing in the world. Love is the best thing in the world. So it's worth fighting for.
Love will keep us together.
Exactly.
Damn right. All right, you know the drill. If you like us, follow us. You can
please
find the Geek Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Everywhere you go, we're there. And for those of you who absolutely cannot get enough of us, please let us know in a 5-star review. And today we are reading a review from Katie Pritchard.
Ooh.
Pritchard? I think that's how you would say that. So Katie Pritchard left this amazing review, energetic podcast about fandoms. Tessa and Princess have put together such a fun podcast about your fave fandoms and stories. Absolutely love their energy, thoughtful perspectives, and chemistry together. 10 out of 10, recommend.
Oh, yay.
We do have great chemistry.
True.
I was telling someone about that the other day. It's like, we're really great.
We're friends in real life as well, not just in podcast world.
Yes.
So that helps. Well, now we are. I guess, like, we didn't know each other before this, but now we know each other.
Right.
Now we're friends.
Absolutely.
Outside of podcast world as well as in podcast world. So, all great.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. So, the Geeked Podcast is hosted by me, Tessa Netting.
And me, Princess Weeks.
You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all over the internet at Tessa Netting.
And you can find me on YouTube as Princess Weeks and on Twitter as Weeks Princess. Next week, we are finally kicking off spooky season, right?
Y'all get ready.
You do not want to miss it. This is a Netflix Geeked and Spoke Media production. Kelly Kolf is our producer. Reyes Mendoza is our associate producer. Delora Patton is our coordinating producer. Special thanks, as always, to Carson McCain.
Sound design and engineering by Evan Arnett, who also composed and performed our original theme. Our executive producers are Keisha T.K. Dutez, Brigham Mosley, Aaliyah Tavakolian, and Keith Reynolds.
To stay updated on all things Geeked, be sure to follow at Netflix Geeked on Twitter, Instagram, and the TikToks. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Geeked.